time. Happy Thursday, everybody. It's Thirsty Thursday here on Happy Hour on Solid State Radio. I'm taking care of myself. Hopefully you are doing the same. Adam Harahuck here, broadcasting live from the Lyric Mall in lovely downtown Lapeer. Sean Cantwell still away on his honeymoon down in the Big Easy over in New Orleans. Hopefully he comes back not penniless, and hopefully he doesn't come back divorced. So I am live in studio. I played alone yesterday. I played with myself yesterday. I decided to call in a ringer.
We'll call it something.
Ladies and gentlemen, I brought in a guest co-host, Dustin Cole, comedian. All-around great guy. Dustin, welcome to Happy Hour.
Thank you for having me. It's a long time coming, too. I know we were talking about this a while back.
Yeah. It took a while to get you out of your shell, or know that we weren't trying to, like, you know, sell you drugs or anything like that.
No, you know, it's, we all got our habits. I know.
We're going to be talking to him. He's going to be helping me out with the show. Taking a look at your weather, it is looking pretty decent out there. Windy. I was kind of hoping to go outside in the backyard and have a fire today, but no, that'd be irresponsible. High of 53 today, low of 34, partly cloudy skies. Friday, high of 49, low of 31. Your weekend, partly cloudy, but high of 45, a low of 28. On Sunday, high of 47 and a low of 35. On Monday, completely sunny skies, high 55 and a low of 31. The Red Wings play tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. We haven't had the projected lineups yet, but it as soon as I get it, you'll have it in your hot little hands. I'm assuming Ville Husso will get the start in net again, which kind of it disturbs me a little bit, considering that last game was not good against the Blue Shirts, the New York Rangers. We'll see what happens, see if Newsy juggles up the lines. But it's against the Montreal Canadiens. They're at the bottom of the Atlantic Division, so hopefully tomorrow we can talk about a Detroit Red Wings win. A lot to get to. Dustin Cole hanging out with me.
Yes, sir.
Meantime, here's Cold War Kids. Pearl Jam on Happy Hour on Solid State Radio. What's going on? Adam Harahuck here, broadcasting from the Lyric Mall. Every suite has been rented out. Downtown Lapeer is doing a great job. Good job, Jim Malt, and everybody at the DDA. I've brought in a very special guest co-host, Dustin Cole, comedian.
Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, you probably had a chance to see him. He tours quite often in the tri-state area. You got a lot of shows coming up, too, don't you?
Yep, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Staying busy.
You want to rattle them off? Do you got them on hand there?
Got a lot. You just want, like, in general, or, like, what's coming up around here?
In general, and tell people how they can find it.
Okay. So this weekend, actually, I'll be in Ohio all weekend. I'll be in a very... I don't even know where it's at in Ohio, but somewhere called Zanesville tomorrow night. Then I'll be in Fremont, Ohio, which I think is kind of right below the Michigan-Ohio border on Saturday. And then the following week, I'm with Bobcat in North Dakota.
Bobcat Goldthwait, yes.
Yes, sir. We are in, oh boy, I guess it doesn't really matter because I don't but we're somewhere, Williston, North Dakota. We're okay. Next weekend. Then I'm off for the Thanksgiving weekend. Then after that, I'm actually doing a benefit in Grand Blanc. I'm headlining a benefit on December 1st for the Humane Society of Genesee County at
Very cool.
Golf Club. And then the week after that, I'm doing another run with Bobcat where we'll be in Michigan in Cadillac. On December 7th, we'll be here in Lapeer. On December 8th at the Picks.
I will be there, too, in the stands, in the seats.
Big one I'm pushing. And then December 9th, we'll be in Columbus, Michigan, not Ohio.
Okay.
And then on December 10th, we're going to wrap that tour up in Wyandotte at District 142, which is a really cool concert venue that just opened up. It's very similar to the Machine Shop, actually. Kevin Zink at the Machine Shop actually hooked us up with that gig. So,
we have to talk about your Machine Shop event, your special, but we'll get to that here in a little bit.
Absolutely.
I want to pick your brain about Bobcat Goldthwait. Bobcat fan. I saw him in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Prime Bobcat.
Prime. Yeah. He's still doing the voice.
Yep. Police Academy Bobcat. Yeah. Hot to Trot Bobcat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What was it? Pre-Shakes the Clown Bobcat.
Yeah, pre-Shakes, but yeah, that, yeah, right in his prime right there. Yeah.
Kevin Meaney, no longer with us. He was the opener.
Okay. For yeah,
that,
funny
for
guy.
That was good. How did that collaboration come around?
Bobcat, okay, so Bobcat did, it actually all started right here in Lapeer, believe it or not. Bobcat did a show at Flanagan's Pub about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago.
Yep.
I actually wasn't even supposed to be on the show, but it was a weird midweek show, and the agency, the comedian company, is the one that facilitated the gig, and I just kind of asked if I could pop in for a guest spot, and of course they said yes. I met Bob. Super nice guy, and afterwards we were hanging out in the green room. Oh, I should probably go back a little bit too. I did a since I only had a guest spot, I had a 5 to 10 minute guest spot. I did brand new material, and then for anybody that's not a comic, one thing you need to understand is the first time you do new material, it's always very hit or miss. It usually doesn't go well. It's just they're kind of cutting.
Do you ever try it out on your friends? As, hey, let me tell you. Sometimes,
but the thing is, your friends aren't always honest. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. But my wife is super honest. I'll put that out there, though. She's almost brutally honest, though, like to the point where sometimes I don't want to know. But anyway, that night, so the new material went okay. It wasn't too bad, but wasn't killer either. So after the show, I'm hanging out with Bobcat in the green room. We're just yucking it up for a couple hours. Super nice guy. Like, after you talk to him for about 5 minutes, you actually forget that you're talking to somebody that's just this massive legend that's done all these things just because he's such a down-to-earth guy. And
right.
The whole time we're talking and things are going so well, I'm sitting there, I'm just kicking myself in the butt because I should have did a 10-minute highlight reel package instead of the new stuff. But luckily, we kind of connected there, and we got to know each other. We exchanged info. So luckily, the next time he came around in Michigan, I was able to hop on as the prime feature act opener. And we've been going at it ever since.
Usually, you guys are taking pictures together.
yeah. Usually once every, whenever he's in the region, of the Midwest or Michigan, there's a pretty good chance I'm the guy with him. And I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'm riding it as long as I can. It's definitely been a whirlwind.
Does he still make you laugh? I mean, you've probably seen his bit so many times.
He does. Especially the first time I saw him at Flanagan's, and I've told so many people this, I've never seen, I've worked with so many comedians over the years. I've never seen someone command a room the way he did. Like, you could literally, after every punchline, you could almost feel the floor sort of vibrate a little under you. Like, he was, I've never seen someone live anyway, kill like that. So, it's definitely very cool to be able to be on the road with him, pick his brain. Sometimes he'll give me notes, which is the craziest thing. And, it's so surreal. Sometimes we'll go out to lunch and we'll just have like Indian food at a buffet. And it's just the weirdest thing. Like, okay. I'm sitting here across from Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah. But you forget that because, like I said, we've developed that relationship, and it's just a very surreal thing. I almost have to kick myself sometimes because it's definitely been a highlight for sure.
December 8th. The Pix Theater in downtown Lapeer. Get your tickets. Center for the Arts Lapeer.org. Center for the Arts Lapeer.org. Click on the Pix Theater tab. Get your tickets. There's still some left, a few left. So, and not bad price. I got mine. It was not.
Yeah, I think they're only like $25 or something like that. Yeah. They're very, very reasonable, especially for someone like Bobcat.
My brother's birthday is nearby, so I'm treated him and his wife. We're all going to go out there and probably drinks before and after.
It'll be a really fun night. I'm featuring for Bob, so I'm doing about 25 to 30 in front of him. But nice. The host that night is actually a woman by the name of Robin Gillerin, who's really funny too. So she'll be on the bill as well. She'll be the special guest host. And a lot of times when it's me and Bob, it's just me and Bob. But since we're in Lapeer, and it's my hometown, I didn't want to go up cold in my hometown. So I made sure to reach out to a comedian friend of mine to do a few up front. So we got Robin Gillerin coming out too, and she's really funny.
Now, you've been doing this for a while.
Yes, sir. About 18 years.
18 years.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first gig?
I do. My first gig. Okay, so there's sort of a backstory to it. I was living alone in an apartment in Davison, Michigan. Okay. I was in my early 20s. And I was one of those kids growing up. I had no direction. I had no idea what I wanted to be. You know, even like into high school, my junior and senior year, while all my classmates and friends, they're making plans for what they're going to do in life. I had no idea. And it actually didn't click until maybe like a year or two after that when, you know, I was just kind of sitting alone in my apartment. And Vicious Circle, Dane Cook's special Vicious Circle popped on. And
oh, I love that one.
I saw how much fun he was having doing that. Because you see so many comedians where their whole persona is self-deprecation and stuff like that, where they're depressed. And I get that. That works for certain people.
Yeah.
But like seeing Dane up there and just having what looked like the time of his life, that was the moment where I said, I want to do that. And I just kind of made the conscious decision right then and there that I wanted to be a comedian. And it was the next day. And living in the Davison area, you know, I was nowhere near Detroit where all the open mics are and stuff like that. I didn't even know what an open mic was at right. that point in time. So I didn't know where to start, but I just knew I wanted to do it. And I told a buddy of mine that I wanted to be a comedian. And he was like, well, you know, they do comedy over at this place called Maxie's in Flint. There was this small
little, I remember that place. Maxie's. Yeah, they
did,
absolutely.
They did comedy there every Sunday night. And so I was like, okay, well, that's a good starting point. So I reached out. And I almost I reached out almost like I was applying for a job. Like the people that answered, they were, yeah, well, Maxie's, what can I do for you? And I was like, yeah, I was wondering, how can I apply to be a comedian there? And they just kind of laughed because they were like, it's not really how it works. There's a guy that books it. He's the MC. And they gave me his number. His name was Rusty. If he's listening, he'll probably get a kick out of this too, because I don't know if he's ever actually heard this story. So I call up Rusty and I was like, hey, I'm a comedian. You know, I lied. I was like, hey, I'm a comedian. You know, I'd never been on stage before. I was like, I was wondering, you know, can I get on up at Maxie's? And he was like, well, how long have you been doing it? And I was like, oh, a couple of years, you know, but I obviously had not. And he was like, all right, you know, we'll give you a guest spot.
Total lie.
Yeah, we'll give you a guest spot. It's fine. And, you know, if things work out, you know, we'll see where things go. So my first time on stage, a lot of comedians, it's at an open mic. Mine was at a full-blown show with like a headliner and a feature. Like the headliner that night, his name was Steve Sabo. And actually, if he ever listens to this, he's probably going to be shocked by this too. But I went up there. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know how to structure a joke. I just remember walking up there telling probably a couple funny stories.
Yeah.
I got enough laughs to the point where I decided I wanted to keep going. And I from there, you know, I established a couple connections, you know, and the rest wow. is history.
You got leapfrogged a lot of people.
I did, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I've curved a couple of, or I've skipped the curve on a couple of situations in comedy.
Like fortune favors the bold.
Almost, yeah. Yeah, I've right place, right time, you know. So I honestly feel like if I was in Detroit and that's where I started, it's kind of a rat race down there. You know, everybody's fighting for stage time here and there. And I just, not being from Detroit, I feel like that was almost kind of an advantage because
you can hone your craft.
Right. There wasn't a huge comedy scene in like the Flint area. And so that's kind of where I established myself amongst them. And it just kind of trickled from there.
Very cool. I got Dustin Cole hanging out with me. We're going to be talking to him. We're going to be telling you more about what he's got coming up. And then we're just going to be just kind of chewing the fat. Here's Green Day. It's Happy Hour on Solid State Radio. Foo Fighters on your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. Adam Herhuck, Dustin Cole helping me out today.
Hey.
So there's this poor football team. I mean, it's youth football season already. It's coming to an end probably this time of the year. There was a youth football team that was kicked out for being too good.
That's interesting.
Football team of 7-year-old and 8-year-olds with a perfect record was kicked out of the playoffs for being too good, league officials say. The Flower Mound Rebels, that's the team name, Flower Mound Rebels are good, no doubt.
Flower Mound?
Flower Mound.
Okay, that's interesting. Where is Flower Mound?
That's a really good question. Yeah. They have outscored their opponents 199-6 in their first 7 games of the season. I was just very sad, an 8-year-old said. I feel like we deserve to play in the playoffs. Last year, when it was hard to field a team during COVID, Flower Mound joined a league from nearby Keller. The vice president of the Keller Youth Association said the group's 5-member board decided the Flower Mound team should be ejected from the playoffs, even though they're the top team. This is the Keller League, not the Flower Mound League. In my mind, they've dominated our league.
So they didn't do anything wrong, but just score a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, they're just making it easy for everybody else. Where okay. everybody else is getting a participation trophy, they're like, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, that's silly. I don't.
Well, one of the coaches and a father, his last name is Taylor. His team lost to the Rebels 33-0. And he says, my team got one first down all game, and my team is good. Well, apparently not as good.
Not as good as Flower Mound.
The Rebels coach, Montero, says he's a sore loser. That's all it comes down to. He's changing the rules so it benefits him. I mean, okay, so let's play devil's advocate here. I mean, is that kind of... they're too good, so you got to give everybody else a shot?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I get that. I understand that at that age, it's all about learning the basics and having fun. I understand that. But to be so good that you're not allowed to play is kind of silly. I mean, the thing, you mentioned the one game where the team lost 33-0. I don't even think, I mean, that's a big score, but I don't think that's
insane. It wasn't
like
75-0.
Yeah, you see that in the NFL and college. I mean, college football sometimes, yeah. Like teams, like they'll win 96-6, like in the first couple weeks of the season just because, you know, they put up those cupcakes and stuff like that. But yeah. It's, I don't know, if you're sick of losing, I guess just get better. You know, I don't like
better.
It's yeah. Do what you got to do to recoup for next year. I mean, it's
let the season play out
exactly,
and then you know work on it for next season.
I played youth sports, and I've gotten trucked my fair share of times, and it was. I mean, it didn't ruin my day or anything. You know, I still went home and probably played PlayStation and called it a day. You know,
Did your What sports did you play?
I primarily played basketball, throughout my youth and throughout high school. That was my big one. I was okay, you know. I wasn't, you know, I was never, you know. Obviously, I'm just a 6-foot white guy, so it never went past high school. But but I mean, you know, that was, and I played football a couple years, 7th and 8th grade, and for me, it was one of those things where, you know, once you get into high school. Your season starts in August, and I just wasn't willing to, I don't know, get up at like 5 a.m. to run all day. I mean, I oddly enough, now I'm kind of a fitness nut, but back then it was like, no, this is summer. You know, I want my time, and, you know, I always just kind of stuck with basketball. That was kind of my thing. I was a hooper.
I played basketball. I played baseball, soccer, and it was just like, you know, I just got done with it.
You know? Yeah, everything runs its course, you know. Yeah. And you know, for me, it ended, you know, after high school. But again, you know, I've been in so many games where, like, I remember actually in 7th grade, I was living up north at a small school called Sanford Meridian. But anyway, we lost to Mount Pleasant 54-6 or something like that, and it was, you know, just
no mercy rule.
No, well, I mean, I think that probably was, like, I think they had a running clock probably starting in the second quarter or something. Like, it was there was definitely a running clock, but, I don't remember it as a bad experience or anything. You know, I remember the game even still being fun, you know, because I was just out there running up and down, you know, doing my thing. So I think that's silly.
Especially if you're too good. I've never heard of that before.
But again, I mean, even 33-0. I mean, that's not. I mean,
you've heard of worse blowouts than that.
Yeah, there's definitely bigger blowouts. And
I mean, we saw that in college football not too long ago. Yeah. But I mean, like you said, there's cupcake games.
Yeah,
those
first couple of weeks of the year. Always,
we complain about that all the time on Happy Hour. Yeah. Unless you're somebody like Notre Dame, or like bring on all contenders. Yeah. Well, we'll take anybody on.
You got schools like Alabama who will play like Mott Community College in week one.
Yeah,
it'll be like 108-6.
Yeah, you know?
It's like, why? Like, who's this even for? Like, who's going to these games?
Well, they're saying it's for, like, it's for the Mott Community College Bears.
Right.
Do they really care?
That's the thing. I mean, even if I played college sports, I would almost, knowing how that outcome was going to be, I might just take a pass and just be like, let's stay home and let's play the other crosstown rival. You know, like it's.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't need to get trucked by Nick Saban. I don't. You know, like, I know what's going to happen. You know, it's not. I mean, you could talk about it years down the road, and it'll probably be funny to laugh about. But it's pretty unnecessary.
But at the time, it doesn't make. I mean, I'm a U of M fan, I guess, because I've just hung mm-hmm. around a lot of people who were Michigan fans.
Yeah, well, you got to be one or the other in this thing. Like, even if you're not into it at all, like you almost feel like people asking, you feel like you have to say something just because it's more work not to.
Exactly. But when they're playing Donald School of Dentistry or something like that, it gets mm-hmm. to be rough because, I mean, you want that competition.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We're talking to Dustin Cole. He is our special co-host tonight. Red Hot Chili Peppers right here on Happy Hour. Hey, welcome back. It is Happy Hour on a Thirsty Thursday. Hopefully you're taking good care of yourself. I'm Adam. Dustin Cole helping me out. Dustin, you filmed a special.
I did. A special, recorded an album. We did it over at the Machine Shop. About 3 months ago now.
It's kind of August.
And it's in the cutting phases right now, and hopefully be out soon.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah,
me I didn't either. Get a chance to make it out there, but the Machine Shop is just such a cool venue.
It is. You know, I played there the first time, the previous October with Bobcat. Like, I went there and I opened for Bobcat there. And it was the first time I ever played the Machine Shop. You know, I'd obviously been going to concerts there for years and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was the first time I played the Machine Shop, and it's just such a killer show. The crowd was super into it. So after that show, that's when I approached Kevin Zink, the owner, and because I knew I was going to be filming something in the next few months, and I still hadn't locked down a venue or anything like that. And I went up to Kevin. I said, you know, feel free to tell me to go F myself, but... you know, how would you feel about doing this here and so on and so forth? And he was right away. He was super excited about it. He was like, yeah, we can do it. And, we'll push the tickets. We'll sell them for this amount, and we'll split the door and this. And so right away, he's a very supportive guy of local acts and stuff like that. So shout out to him and his staff. And, you know, they were nothing but great with this whole thing. And, you know, we brought in a few cameras, about four cameras, hired an outside company to come in and do it. I luckily knew a guy, so I got a good deal. But they came in, they filmed it, and the Machine Shop was nothing but awesome, and the crowd is super into it. There was one funny thing that actually happened. So about three quarters of the way through my set, and you might even remember this night, but there was a tornado warning ripped through Flint. So I'm up there on stage doing my thing, And the Machine Shop, you know, it's very closed in. You know, there's no window, so you can't really see what's going on outside or anything. But apparently in the midst of all this, there's a monsoon happening. And all of a sudden, everybody's phones start going off. Like, and it's not abnormal for, like, a phone to go off during it. You know, you just kind of acknowledge it and move on. But everybody was going off, so I thought I was being punked. But it turns out there was the tornado warning coming through Flint. So... luckily, everybody, you know, stayed, and, you know, they were into it. I had about 10 minutes more to go, and then as soon as my set was over, the power went out at the Machine Shop. And that had apparently never happened at the Machine Shop in its 20 or whatever year history.
Wow.
But I was just very grateful at that point, because had it gone out 10 minutes before, I wouldn't have had, like, a big ending, and who knows, we might have even had to reshoot the whole thing, so we got pretty lucky. But it was super awesome show. They packed it in there. Everybody was there to have a great time, and I'm super excited to hear the album and see the special.
Well, you need to come back in when that special's ready
absolutely,
to go.
Absolutely, yeah. I want to hit the circuit. Yeah. I want to start pushing it. So.
It's gonna be. Does it have a title yet?
Yep, the working title, and I hope it to be the final title, just because I've always had it in my mind that when I recorded an album, I was going to call it Dustin Cole Obnoxious Behavior. Actually, I got these bracelets. I'll give you one. It says Obnoxious Behavior 23 on it. So that's what I call the current tour I'm on. So hopefully, like, unless something better comes along, that's the current working title, Obnoxious Behavior, and I think that's what we're going to keep.
Well, I'm going to see you Friday, December 8th at the Pix Theater.
Yes, sir.
Opening up for Bobcat Goldthwait. You have a website. You have a Facebook page.
Yeah, I definitely. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. It's facebook.com/DustinColeComedy. Instagram at Dustin Cole, but minus the I, just because... some punk out there already has at Dustin Cole. So it's Dust and then the letter N and Cole. So it's sort of like Dustin Cole, just minus the I.
Gotcha.
I do have a Twitter page out there, but Twitter confuses me and I'm never on it.
It's changed.
So, I don't get it. Like, the, you know, the hashtags and the @s and stuff. Maybe this is my get off my lawn moment, even though I still feel relatively young. But So, and I started a TikTok once, but I uploaded a clip and it was immediately booted off for some, and I don't know, it confused me. So I stopped trying language. That. But yeah, I don't even know if it was language though, because I edited, you know, I was like, I don't know what the problem is there. So I edited it down and it still, like, it let me post a video, but without the audio, which I thought was weird. So the best places to find me is definitely Facebook and Instagram.
Who are your favorite stand-up comics? I mean, you talk about Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Who's on the scene right now that you've been kind of
digging?
Honestly,
you know, oddly enough, you know, Dane's touring again, and I really hope he brings his tour around here, because that's, like, he was the reason I got into
my
comedy.
My brother saw him, and I think he was in the round, and he said it was a great time.
Yeah, I catch a lot of flack by comics and otherwise for him being my favorite, but he's like...
Why does he get flack?
You know, I don't know. I think a lot of it is just, you know, I think he got famous so big so fast that, you know, it might even be from a jealousy standpoint of something, but
it could be.
He's honestly a very genuine guy. We've corresponded via Messenger a few times. Like, he's very in tune with his fans, so like he's very easy to get in touch with, and so he's never been nothing but cool to me online anyway. But aside from Dane, Bobcat actually is a huge one. Yep. That's what, you know, as soon as I got the chance to open for him once, I took it, because he was always a very big inspiration of mine. Aside from that, on the scene today, what's kind of funny about, as far as the scene today, I'm not all that in tune with all the modern, like, famous comics.
Sure.
You know, I know there's the Matt Rifes, and, you know, we sort of talked about him off air a little bit, and I just... But, you know, I grew up with the Cooks and the Chappelles and the Chris Rocks. And, you know, those are kind of, you know, my always the ones that I go to.
Sure.
As far as, like, you know, people that are on the scene and not necessarily famous, I work with a guy named Cam Rowe a lot.
I know Cam Rowe.
Do you know Cam?
I mean, okay. I've seen him. Yeah, it's not like we hang out or anything.
He's,
like that,
as far as, like, on the, like, I love working with Cam. You know, because just as a comic, you know, you see so many other comics, and while you might be friends or acquaintances with them, you know, they might not necessarily be your favorite comic or whatever, you know, you just, but you're friends and so, but like Cam's one of those guys, every time I work with him, I love just watching him. Same thing with another guy named Justin Sullivan. He actually, we talked a little earlier, he does the guitar thing.
Okay.
but he's very fun. He actually, I brought him to the Picks with me the last time I headlined the Picks, actually.
Yeah, the backstory between that, folks, was I play guitar and I love stand-up comedy, but when a stand-up comic shows up with a guitar, I'm kind of checking out.
Yeah, you're checked out. Yeah, you're like, yeah, what do you know? Right? Like, what?
I'm sure he can play guitar, but it's just like, I don't like musical comedy. It's just
Well, there's it's a hard, and I think that's why I like him so much, just because it's kind of a hard, you know, parodying songs and stuff like that. You know, it's not the easy, you know, obviously you have like your Weird Al's and stuff like that, but so it's hard to do, and I think that's why I like him a lot. His name's Justin Sullivan. But like I said, as far as like, you know, the inspirations and stuff like that go, he's not a modern guy or anything like that, but growing up I loved Eddie Murphy. Like, even before I wanted to be a stand-up comic, you know, I was always,
he's kind of like the gold standard,
right?
I put him my personal favorite is Sam Kinison.
Yep.
Richard Pryor, of course. And, you know, yeah, Eddie Murphy's definitely in there.
Well, Eddie, yeah, he's one of those guys, like, even before I had any thought, like, I would just be a kid, you know, I would sneak off to watch Delirious and just, you know, it's, even as a goof sometime, I've even told my wife I'd love to, like, just, not even leather, because it would cost too much, but get a pleather jumpsuit and just as a goof one time, wear it on stage, but...
It was like Amy Schumer said that everybody has to have, like, one leather special.
Right, yeah, it's a given. Yeah, it's definitely a given, and I feel like we've kind of gotten away from that, so maybe I can bring that back around here in the next few years, but and I don't think I can pull it off the way Eddie could. You know, I think he had his own swagger and his own charisma with that.
Yes, he did.
But those were definitely my inspirations. You know, like I said, I catch flack for it. Dane's probably the big one, because he was the reason I got into comedy, and I've kind of, you know, stayed on that bandwagon a little bit. And, and I'll go to war for him online.
I like Dane Cook a lot. I like listening to him. I have a hard time watching him because he's very animated.
Yep, he moves around. Yeah, he moves around a lot. That's it. And, you know, that's probably where it comes from for me too. But like I said, aside from him, Bobcat is a big one. I love watching Bobcat work when we're on the road together. It's very inspirational watching him, you know, control a crowd. So watching him,
I like Bobcat's set because it's part funny stories about him. It's mm-hmm. then it's observational humor, and then it's all because he's not just a comic. He's not just an actor. He's done right. directing. He's produced. I mean, you hear right. a lot of things. There was a. I'm not going to blow it for you in case you guys come out of the pics and he tells it, but there is a. a bit that he talks about where he's directing the Jimmy Kimmel Show
yep.
and filming for Nickelback.
yep.
That's all I'm going to laugh.
that's definitely good. That's a favorite. Yeah, there's a few in there. Yeah, and he's just super inspirational to watch, like the way he controls a room. And it's, again, like you said, he's done so many other things, you know, acting, directing, and so on and so forth. So it's funny, sometimes when we'll be on the road, like he'll be like, oh yeah, tomorrow, between this time and this time, I'll be hanging out in the hotel and I got a Zoom call with, and he'll drop some name and it'll just blow my mind because he's saying it like it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, but so it's hard to not kind of fanboy around him.
It is hard because it's like he has been close friends with Robin Williams.
Yes.
I mean, here's somebody that you're just standing next to and it's like Robin Williams is like the X Factor for right. like comedy mm-hmm. Through the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And then Kurt Cobain.
Yep. I mean, yeah, he opened for Nirvana for a short period in the 90s, too. Yeah.
Folks at home, check it out where he's talking about how he had to get hustled out of a venue in Chicago.
Actually, yeah, if you look it up, I'll give him a plug here. If you want to look up his new album, it's called Soldier for Christ.
I've heard some bits off of it. It's yep. fantastic.
And it's and all these bits we're talking about, they're on that album. And you can, I think the production company that did it, they're called Pretty Good Friends. And you can find them, I think, on Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that. You can buy either the digital copy, or I bought the vinyl just because, like I said, I'm going to fangirl the next time we're around. I'm going to make him sign it. But yeah, it's Soldier for Christ. It's huge. He's the best. There's no doubt.
All right, let's take a little bit of a break. Let's get to some music, and then let's hang out a little bit more. You got some time to hang out
some
more?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here for the duration.
Here's Sublime on Happy Hour. There's Nirvana. We were just talking about Kurt Cobain.
Yes, sir.
On your local alternative South State Radio. It is Happy Hour. I'm Adam. That's Dustin. He's helping me out today. Dustin Cole, comedian, all-around great guy. And Dustin, I don't know if I sent you the text for this news story.
Right.
Where this missing cat.
Butters.
Butters.
Yeah.
Shows up 12 years later.
Went on a little trek. 200 miles away, I think, if I read. Like yeah. they some guy found him like 200 miles away.
The owners of chipped. A missing cat in California thought their feline friend was long gone until they were surprised to learn he was alive earlier this month. Angelo and Shelley Castellano told Los Angeles that their tabby cat Butters went missing over 12 years ago after the very adventurous feline learned how to use a dog door. Like, was it that really hard?
I think I read something about they thought it was consumed by coyotes too. They were just like, okay, that's.
Yeah, I mean, that I would assume. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the cat just does show up, or like you're assuming it's dead, or somebody else took it as another family. But the family who adopted him when they lived in San Diego said one day Butters never returned to their home. Mm-hmm. They said we went looking for him, and our assumption was the coyotes got him because there's a canyon nearby, and we didn't much think about it after that, except that we were sad he was gone.
That was the part they got me. They were like, we didn't think about it much, and it, like. I have a couple cats at home. They're elderly guys.
Yeah.
Like, if one of them somehow got outside, like, and just gone for a day, I'm panicking.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, oh, probably, you know, coyotes. Oh, well, we'll get another one.
Yeah. I don't really think they're, like, big cat owners.
Yeah, it's
like,
very, very, very underwhelming, you know? Like,
the cat had been alive for over a decade. Was spotted October 1st, an animal control officer in Riverside County saw the tabby lurking in his backyard in Blythe, California. He caught the cat after a scan for a microchip, and cat was microchipped, so they cared
sure
about
enough.
This cat.
Butters.
Found that he went from his San Diego family's home in 2011 to San Diego is over 200 miles away.
That's insane. I hope he had a camera crew and he filmed this trek. That's like some Homeward Bound stuff, you know?
So they bring this cat back, and I'm sure there's probably somebody who's just not a cat lover going, oh, great. Yeah, Butters is back.
Well, if you watch the video, yeah, they actually show the reunion, and the people aren't like all the, I mean, they're, I don't know, like they just, it's almost just kind of like they're, like, you know, here we are. I guess we got to get the cat's ours technically. And they just kind of show up and they're like, oh, there he is. There's Butters. But, you know, it's like, I mean, I don't know. That's how I act towards my cats when I get, I mean, my cats and my dog when I get home.
Yeah.
You know, just from a day at work. And, you know, there's, like I said, it's very underwhelming. I don't know. Like, who knows? He was probably actually in a very loving home. Then, yeah. And then he just kind of strayed away. And now yeah, he's back with these people that are just
story,
like,
a little farther down going, oh, we can't find our, yeah. We can't find our cat Margarine. We can't find him anywhere.
Yeah, they got Butters when it was a kitten. And then it probably lived 10 years probably with this family and probably some kid that loved this cat. And then he just strolled away, found him, and then he took him back to the place and just let him out the doggy door.
Yeah, like, we're looking at it as a nice, happy story.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's probably devastating for someone.
And that kid is watching the news going, Butters, that's his name? I gave him a better name than that.
Yeah.
Butters. I mean, yeah, because the owner says, I thought it was a prank call because the cat was gone for 12 years, but how did he know our cat's name?
Yeah. That would be a very creepy prank call to get, actually. Probably forgot the name. What's the cat's name? Butters? Oh, that's right. Hey, honey, the Butters, that cat we had for 2 days.
Oh, that cat back in the early 2010s. Yeah, I'm glad that son of a bitch is gone. Oh, well, guess what? It's on its way back.
No getting rid of Butters.
And Butters just like, damn it. Got to find another doggy door and get out of here. Here's Arcade Fire on Happy Hour. There is Snarls walking the woods on Happy Hour on your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? I'm Adam. That's Dustin over there hanging out with you. Sean Canwell will be making his return next week. In fact, I think he might be phoning in for the football picks tomorrow.
Where'd you say he was? Louisiana?
Louisiana.
He's down north south. For right a, down for in the dirty south.
Yeah, his honeymoon. So he's
for
going
him.
Out and doing that. I sent you a news story, and we started talking about it off air, and I think we both were having a little too much fun. First ever Florida Man Games.
Oh yeah. I read the description of it too, and I got thinking, I was like, "Is this? Are you sure this is Florida and not Lapeer? You know, there's like,
yeah,
you know, a lot of it just started to ring true. I was like, they could have this up here.
Well, yeah, because I mean, we're sitting there laughing at ha 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 Florida Man, but. There's a lot of things that would
they should
ring
work it
true.
Into Lapeer days next year.
Well, why not? They got beer belly wrestling, evading arrest. I got this news story from HuffPost. It ain't the Olympics, but a group of Floridians plan to host competitions themed across the collective antics of the beer-loving, gator-possessing, rap-sheet-heavy, mullet-wearing social media phenomenon known as Florida Man.
The Florida Man. Yeah. it's pretty wild. It's nice that they're finally leaning into it, though, you know, because they've had that reputation for the longest time, and they've always, you know, you probably tried to play it off, but they were like, you know what, this is who we are.
Yeah.
This is our identity. They've had it. It's,
yeah. Florida Man Stories has derived a lot of pleasure on this show. Absolutely. Organizers of the Florida Man Games described the competition as, quote, the most insane athletic showdown on earth.
There's probably not a whole lot of athleticism going on there. But
oh, my God. Maybe the wrestling the alligator,
yeah,
but
that is
my money's
true.
Still
yeah.
on the gator.
Yeah, money's always going to be on the gator.
Games will poke fun at Florida's reputation for producing strange news stories involving guns, drugs, booze, and reptiles, or some combination of the four. Among the contests planned for next February in St. Augustine, Florida, according to organizers, are the evading arrest obstacle course, in which contestants jump over fences and through yards while being chased by real police officers.
Real police? Oh, wow, okay. Is all equipment fair game? Like, are guns, tasers, like you name it? Like,
is it Category 5 cash grab in which participants... Oh, okay, that's a different... that was a different event, but yeah, that'd be... Because that's my favorite part of watching Cops, is when somebody gets tased. That is my entertainment.
Yep. Yeah, it's something. Yeah, it's I kind of want a tase gun.
The Category 5 cash grab, in which participants try to grab as much money in a wind-blowing booth, and the self-explanatory beer-bellying wrestling.
To be fair, I've always wanted to do one of those cash booths, so...
Oh, yeah.
Can't be too judgy there.
Oh, I remember taking the kids over to... Chuck E. Cheese, and they had like the big old ticket thing where they're blowing around. And
Chuck E. Cheese is basically Florida Man, but for kids, you know.
I remember the Flint one for the longest time served beer, and I think that's a little irresponsible to be serving beer. But then I'm there for like 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, pour me another one.
Yeah, it's the only thing that's going to keep you there. Yeah, it's like a children's casino, you know.
But what is it about? I mean, Florida, like we kind of touched on it. It's, you know, we make fun of Florida Man and everything else, but everybody goes there. Yeah. Like, oh, we're going down to Florida for spring break.
I mean, even like as much as I make fun of Florida, me and my wife, like our favorite place on earth is Key West. Like we love Key West. And we actually spent our honeymoon in Fort Myers Beach and a portion in Fort Myers Beach and a portion in Key West. Like we love Florida. Like there's definitely, it's almost like a poor man's Hawaii or Caribbean, you know, it's certain spots. But when you get into that underbelly, you know, you see stray a little too far from where you're told to not go or go, I guess is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
It gets a little trifly.
They say that you put in your birthday and put in Florida Man, it's supposed to be coming up really good. What's your birthday?
My birthday? Like day, month, and year?
Just day and month.
Day, month, April 16th.
April... typing this in, Florida, it comes right up. All right, according to WKMG, Florida man high on flacca attacked officers. Flacca. Said he was God. Had sex with tree.
That tracks.
A Florida man to believe high on flacca, a drug that authorities say is sweeping the state, attacked a police officer after twice being shocked with a taser while repeatedly saying he was God.
How do you take flacca? Is that injected, consumed?
Assuming it's smoked.
Yeah.
That's usually
that makes sense. It sounds like a form of, smoke.
Yeah, I guess now, we got to kind of take a step back and find out what flack is. But Kenneth Crowder, 41, of Melbourne, was arrested on charges of battery on a law enforcement officer resisting with violence and assault with a deadly weapon.
Hell yeah. That's my guy. Yeah.
According to Melbourne police.
Fight the power.
Spotted while witnesses, he was spotted running naked. They're always naked.
What's the point in clothes?
Through a Melbourne neighborhood yelling that he was God before committing a sexual act on a tree.
Okay. They specified the sexual act? Like his...
probably not. It's a newspaper, so it's probably just leave it at that. But everybody's just like, was he receiving pleasure or was he being a man giving the tree pleasure?
Yeah. I gotta assume thing about you're the giving tree pleasure. Yeah, like unless it's really windy. Again, they have their hurricanes, so I guess it's possible a tree could be moving. It's stuff. I don't.
Okay, the drug can be snorted, smoked, or taken by mouth, and can cause violent behavior. No kidding,
man. So, and you can just put that any orifice, like it'll.
Oh, flacca is a variation of synthetic substances known as bath salts.
Oh,
and delivers a cheap, powerful high while acting as an amphetamine, according to officials. Okay, well, we learned something new today.
I'm very boring, comparatively to Florida Man. I don't.
You've never taken bath salts?
No. I'm actually very, and I actually talk about it in my set, I'm kind of a straight arrow when it comes to drugs and booze and stuff like that. So it's... And it's stories like that, keep you humble.
Well, then when you hang around a bunch of comics, they probably look at you like you're kind of...
Well, there's some of what's kind of odd about it, and I think we talked about this a little earlier off the air, too. Like, a lot of us, we're introverts, it's almost like a...
Yeah, I guess it's different than hanging out with musicians.
Yeah, it's like an alter ego, it's almost like having a superpower, but instead of going into a phone booth, like you go into a dive bar bathroom and come out and there you are. Yeah, that's
it's time to laugh, everybody. I got Dustin Cole hanging out with me. We're going to talk a little bit more to him before we sign off. Tell you where he's going to be performing. Here is 9 Days on Happy Hour, Solid State Radio. And welcome back to the show. What's going on? It is a Thirsty Thursday here on Happy Hour and Solid State Radio. I've been taking good care of myself. Hopefully you do the same. Adam Harahuk here. Sean Cantwell still on assignment over in the Big Easy. Dustin Cole's been hanging out with me. Thank you very much for answering the call and coming out.
Absolutely,
here.
Man. This has been a lot of fun. I want to do this again.
Oh,
actually, yeah. Like, let's just keep Sean in Louisiana.
Yeah, there and we go. We'll cancel his flight.
Yeah.
So if he's not on the do not fly list after this, I'd be shocked. He's never flown before.
Oh,
so
wow.
He was actually very adamant about not flying, and it took his wife to say, you know, I want to do this, and you're going to have to fly. And
I get nervous myself. Like, I fly quite a bit, like, for comedy and stuff like that, and I still, like, it's – when we're in the air, it's great, but takeoff and landing, like, there's always that – you know, you just, it's so hard to describe.
Edge.
Yeah.
It's an edge.
Because, you know, the plane shakes a little and while it's taking off stuff, and it makes you feel like they're, I've made the mistake before of, like, I remember one time I Googled something and there was a plane wreck that happened in the 80s in Detroit Metro. It was a Northwest flight, I remember, and it crashed right after takeoff. And
I remember that.
And everybody died except for one, I think, 4-year-old girl or something like that. So now, like, every time I fly, like, that's in my mind at takeoff, and it's, you know. But they say it's safer than drive. So, who knows?
It is. It is because, I mean, you're up in the air. There's nobody else around you as opposed to if you're driving down 75, it could be somebody changing the radio station. Next thing you know, they're swerving in oncoming traffic or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that. But we were talking, Drew, another guy who was helping me out earlier this week. We were talking about how angry people are getting on airlines. You see videos all the time of people just getting in fights.
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't like sometimes I watch it and I get angry. Like for like the flight attendants and stuff like that, you know. So it's a different animal.
You are going to be traveling a lot for comedy. Where are you going to be at?
This weekend, I'll be in Ohio for a couple dates. I'll be in Zanesville and then Fremont. And then next week, as I mentioned earlier, I'll be with Bobcat in Williston, North Dakota for a couple dates out there next weekend. And then I'm home for the most part all of December. I'll be in Grand Blanc on December 1st for a fundraiser for the Humane Society. It's at the Atlas Golf Club. And it's actually, believe it or not, as weird as it sounds, because it's a fundraiser, it's free, but they have a donation list of, you know, things for the animals, like cat food, dog food, toys, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And that's basically the price of admission. And then I'm doing a stretch with Bobcat where I'm December 7th. We're going to be in Cadillac at a place that's just called The Venue, which is kind of funny because the first time I played that place on the flyer, it just said at The Venue, and I thought somebody didn't type in what the venue, and it was just like the generic thing that was there. But anyway, it's called The Venue. That's in Cadillac. December 8th, that's a big one, in Lapeer. We're going to be at the Picks. I'll be with Bob and Robin Gillerin. She'll be hosting.
If you want tickets for that, go to centerforthearts.org.
That's the big one. If you're going to come to one of them, come to that one because I want it to be packed. I want him. Bob knows it's my town, so I want him to be impressed. So, so come out for that one. December 9th, we're going to be at T's Rockin' Roadhouse in Columbus, Michigan, and then on December 10th, we'll be in Wyandotte at the new District 142, which is apparently a really awesome concert.
Oh, I've heard about that venue.
Yep. Yeah, Kevin Zink speaks very highly of it. Apparently, he's really good friends with him. Yeah, so he's.
Yeah, we talked about the Zink brothers and everybody over at the machine shop, and he's a cool cat.
Top notch, man. Like, I can't, like, there's not a cooler person in showbiz. There really isn't.
I'm going to recap. Obnoxious Behavior will be coming out as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah, it's in the cutting phases right now. They're messing with it. And because it's dueling as, you know, it's going to be a special. But we're also going to take the audio from it and turn that into an album. That'll be available on like Spotify, Apple Music, probably all that stuff. So there's a few things that need to be done with it yet. But when it is done, and I think I've mentioned it to Jill Lyons over at the Picks maybe once or twice. When it is done, I actually want to do like a premiere type of thing and at the Picks.
Oh.
If she'll have me.
Oh yeah.
And then turn it into a nice, like a fun little, you know, fake little red carpet event type of deal.
Sure.
Just to kind of debut it. And I think that'll be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. If that doesn't work, I'm sure there's a venue here. We can work something out and make a nice little promotion for it. Definitely come back on the show and we'll talk all about it.
Anytime,
when that's ready to go. Dustin, thank you very much for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having me.
Dustin Cole helping me out on Happy Hour. We'll see you tomorrow. Sean probably will be calling in for the football picks, and we're gonna have a good time. All being well, see you tomorrow.
Good night. Later.